Tioga County, Pennsylvania. Down through the, right along the New York State border runs a valley. It's the Conesky Valley. It's the Conesky Valley, runs right along the New York State border. The valley is Pennsylvania. Most of the way, the top of the mountain on one side is still PA. The top of the mountain on the other side is New York State. Down through the Conesky Valley, starting from the edge of New York State where it kind of dumps out the valley, the Conesky Valley Lake. The Conesky Lake is a lake that was built to control the flooding as it come down through. And in the early 70s, they built the lake. But if you start down there, it's Lawrenceville. And then they actually moved the town of Nelson. They moved it up off of the valley so they could build the lake there. So Nelson used to be right in where the Conesky Valley Lake is. But they moved the whole town. Houses and everything. They moved it up on the edge of the ravine there. And then if you continue up the valley, you end up in a town called Elkland. And then if you continue to go through the valley, you end up in a town called Osceola. I know it's Osceola Mills. It's Osceola in Tioga County. Osceola is, and then you continue to go on up through the valley. You'd get into Knoxville, and then you would get up into Westfield, and then you dump out into Potter County. So this Conesky Valley Lake is kind of the divider between Pennsylvania and New York State. Well, growing up, where my address most of the time was either Knoxville or Osceola, all my life as a teen until I was adult, it was either Knoxville or Osceola. Osceola was the middle kind of the Conesky Valley. And we went through Osceola quite a lot. You had to go through Osceola to go to Elkland. Elkland was where I went to high school. I went to grade school in Knoxville. This is a little history lesson that you probably don't care about, but it's in my head. But Osceola, we come down off the mountain into Osceola. None of these towns, if you blink twice, you miss the whole town. All right, we're not talking Altoona. Okay, we're talking very small towns that one after another up this valley. But when you come off the mountain into Osceola, then you can go straight through Osceola, straight just bisect Osceola, and then you go up to New York State. Well, the road between, I don't know if you can see that or not, this is the road between Osceola, one of the pieces of the road between Osceola and Woodhull, New York. And I had a great-grandmother that lived in Woodhull, New York, so living in the Osceola area and driving through there, you got to go quite often up this road to go to Woodhull, New York. Or basically, over the mountain and out a stretch, and you were in Woodhull, New York. And also, Woodhull, New York also contains one of my favorite cheese factories. So, Golden Age Cheese, check them out online. But that road between Osceola, this is the road right here. You can see the road between Osceola. That's not the entire road. That's just a piece of it. You can see over here, the kind of that's a very organized junkyard. It really is. And that used to be my great-grandfather's farm. He farmed that hill, and he farmed that mountainside there. And so the day that I was driving through here, it was with my dad and some others, and we were driving, and he was pointing these things out. One of the things they used to do as a kid is just drive around. And you would learn the history of the area because it was a history lesson as you drove around the area. When we are so nomadic anymore, we move from here to there and all over. We don't really get those history lessons of where we lived. But my dad would say that was great-grandfather Bolin's farm. And that's where he farmed, and he would tell a story about something that happened at great-grandpa Bolin's farm. By the time that I had come around, great-grandfather had passed away. My grandmother had moved into Woodhull, New York. And so she was there. So we were going over there just on a drive. So we continued up the road, and you can see where the road was at the very top of the picture. And as we were driving up through there that day, a farm caught my eye. And I took a picture out the window. My dad stopped. I said, I got to take a picture of this farm. And I snapped the picture on my phone or on my camera. I might have had a camera. It was 10 years ago or better. I snapped the picture of the farm. And that venture has become vital to me throughout the last 10 or 12 years because God has spoke to me through that venture so many times. Just on this little road from Osceola in the middle of Kaneski Valley through Osceola into Woodhull, New York. God has used that venture so many times to speak to me very clearly. I've actually used that venture over and over and over, even in counseling, even in marriage counseling or any counseling that I do. This is the farm. There it is. I like that picture so much that I had Becky McDowell paint it for me. And that's an 18 by 25 that hangs in my office right across from my desk. And it's just this powerful picture of what's going on and where are all the dreams? Where were the dreams? And the place is kind of falling down. You can see that. The place is falling down. And as I was pondering that picture, after taking that picture and back to my office a few months later, and it come up and I was looking at it, and it was just speaking to me over and over and over. And all of a sudden, I just took a pen or pencil and I printed one off on paper, and I took a pencil and I drew an X through the picture. And right dead center of the picture that I had taken was that power pole. Was the power pole. But nobody was hooked to the power pole. The power was in the picture. That's what I've called this painting ever since. The power is in the picture. But that doesn't mean that the work is getting done. You got to plug into the power. Or you're going to have a hole in your roof. You're going to have a fallen down fence. You're going to have some disarray there. You need to plug into the power. And I've talked about that in marriage counseling or other counseling. Are you plugged into the power? Look at the picture on the wall. The power is still in the picture. And then I was by there a couple years ago, and here's the picture, the next picture. You can see they still haven't plugged into the power. The house is starting to fall down even more and more and more. And here's another picture of just the house. Somebody's not taking care of the place. But the power is still in the picture. Every picture I have of that farm has that transformer in it. Every single picture I look at, every time I drive by that place to go to the cheese factory, I snap a picture of that farm. And every blasted picture I have has that power pole in the middle of it. It's literally in the very middle of the first picture I ever took of it. But God was communicating over and over and over that the power is in the picture. And I've looked at that over and over and over. The other day, it was actually November 16th, 2020, at 3:58 p.m. I was in my office, and I looked up from my desk, and this picture hangs just across from my desk on the wall. And as I looked up again at that picture, which I do every single day, this is what I saw on that picture that day. I saw this big streak of light in the picture. You got to know that the way our house sits, that the front of our house gets the sun and the back of our house gets the sun in the evening. You got to know that within an hour of this time that this picture was taken, the sun was setting. The sun was on the back side of our house. You also got to know that I have two windows in my office that are never open. They have shades over them because I'm too much of a squirrel to have the windows open. So all the windows are shut, and all of a sudden I look up at what I've been calling the power in the picture, and there was a light strike across the picture. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but all of a sudden I got the hair stand up on the back of my head, and I heard God say, I told you the power's in the picture. Now you can explain, you can go back to November 16th and you can get the angle of sun and you can get what this reflected off and that reflected off of this and it's off the neighbor's car, it was just parked just right. That just makes it more of a miracle to me. Because since then, that has never happened. And before then, that had never happened. But God was showing me something again through the picture. He wanted me to know that the power was in the picture. Push the button one more time. Here it is. Here's the picture that I took and was painted. And here's the picture on November 16th. So as I was processing that picture and I was focused on it, I would say, God, I see right from the power pole, which I find very interesting, right from the power pole, right on the milk house. Then my mind wants to go, why the milk house, God? Why are you shining on it? You could have shined that thing on anywhere you wanted. You could have shined it right up the pole. You could have shined it on the house. You could have shined it on down the road. You could have shined it on the barn. You could have shined it on anything else. You could have shined it on anything. You didn't have to shine it on anything, but you chose, God. Believe me, I believe that God chose to shine it on the milk house. Now, being an old dairy farmer, that means something to me. And as God would continue to process with me, and as I was thinking about why it was on the milk house, I know why the light strike was there, because the power is in the picture, which I've renamed. I told you the power was in the picture. You always thought it was. I'm telling you it is. The power is in the picture. The light strike is on the milk house. I wonder why it's on the milk house. Why? Because what leaves the farm comes through the milk house. Are you with me? Because what leaves the farm comes through the milk house. And so I all the hay, all the grain, all the equipment, all the cost. Now I'm talking about dairy farming. Farms that aren't dairy don't have a milk house, okay? This was a dairy farm. And everything that leaves the farm on a dairy farm comes through the milk house. All the grain, all the hay, all the equipment, all the hard work, all the 24/7 work is so that you can put more out of the milk, out of the milk house. What leaves the farm comes through the milk house. If there's nothing leaving through the milk house, the farm is in trouble. And I would make the argument, if there's nothing leaving from the milk house on the farm, the community is in trouble. With the hundreds and thousands of things that are produced because of the American dairy farmer. And how many thousands of people are fed each and every day because of the American farmer. The milk house is how it leaves, how it gets out of the farm. And the more that it gets out, the better the farm can do, and also the better the community does. What leaves the milk house improves the farm and improves the community. Are you with me? We're going to get spiritual here in a minute. Right now it's just Dairy 101. My class ring says agriculture. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be. No, I didn't. In the book that they put out. What's the book? Everybody's pictures in the yearbook, right? It says, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Basically, and I always said, "Well, I want to be a successful farmer." I didn't want to just be a farmer. I want to be a successful farmer. And as I think about that, even I want to be successful. I want more to leave the milk house, more to improve the community, more to leave us. So I've entitled this message, "What's in Your Milk Can?" What's in your milk can? And so I want to know what's leaving the farm? What's leaving us? What's leaving New Life on this new year? Listen, in 52 weeks from today, 51 weeks from today, I'm going to ask us how we're doing on this. Just so you know, you already know what that message is going to be. But what's in your milk can? What are we pouring out? What is growing inside of all the grain, all the hard work? Yes, that's so crucial inside of us, inside of our body. But I'm telling you, if something's not leaving us, then we are dead. And if something's not leaving us, our community is suffering. Something needs to leave the milk house. So what's in your milk can? So I went back and did a search on what was in Jesus' milk can. What did he pour out on those people around him? He spent time with the Father. He did all these things. And that was to build up the farm, so to speak, so that his milk can was more and more and more full. So that he would pour it out on the people that so desperately needed it. And he would pour out and pour out and pour out. What was in Jesus' milk can? Hang with me, because the first message of the year is a little longer. What's in Jesus' milk can? As I look back, I see that Jesus had prayer in his milk can. And he poured out the prayer. He spent time with the Father in this very intimate prayer. But he poured out prayer on the people around him. He poured it out on Lazarus. He poured it out on the feeding of the 5,000. He poured it out on his disciples. He poured it out on the thief on the cross. He poured it out on the people that were mocking him from the cross. He poured out his prayer. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, take this bread and feed these people. God, Father, raise Lazarus from the dead. He was pouring out his prayer. His milk can was full, and he was pouring that prayer out on people all the time. And he poured out miracles. And he poured out miracles where he touched people and brought healing to people and did miraculous signs and walked on water and walked through storms and enabled other people to walk on water. And he poured out the gospel. He poured out the love of Jesus on people. He poured out the truth of the gospel. He poured out good works on people. He fed and he worked alongside of people. He poured out good works on people. And he poured out solid teaching on people. He poured it out. The light strike on, I told you there was power in the picture, was on the milk house, because I think God is challenging me and God is challenging you and us as a body of New Life to fill up our milk can and pour it out on this community and pour it out on one another. The ultimate dairy that's feeding thousands of people. Do I think New Life can feed thousands of people? Yes, I do. And I want to pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. I want to go to Psalm 20. All that to get to the message today. I want to go to Psalm 20 for a few hours this day. Psalm 20 is a prayer. Psalm 20 is a prayer. This prayer is a prayer of go get it. This prayer is a prayer of roll up your sleeves. This is a prayer that we're taking no prisoners, so to speak. This is a prayer of offensive moves. This is a prayer where you got the ball. You're not just trying to stop the enemy from scoring. It's your turn. Your quarterback's up. Your running back's up. Your receivers are up. Your 300-pound linemen are on the line. Your halfback is there. You're on the offense. That's what this prayer is. The offensive team. We're an offensive group. God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against it. That's all offense. We need to pour out on this community where this is an offensive prayer. This is a prayer to advance, to take more ground, to confront the enemy, and to move forward. And this is what I want us to pour out on those individuals, those people around us. This is where I want our milk can to be so full of what God is doing in and through, in us, that we can carry our milk can to this community. And we'll talk about the miracles. We'll talk about those other things in weeks to come. But today I want to talk about this prayer. Will this be a 2021 prayer for us? Can this be a prayer that we will pray over and over and over and over? This prayer of we're going to take more ground. This prayer of advance in your life. This prayer to have victory over the enemy in your life. Prayer. Will we pour this prayer over people?
Will we pour this prayer over the people around us? Will we pour this prayer over our loved ones? Will we pour this prayer over our spouse and over our kids? Will we pour this prayer? Push the button, please. Will we pour this prayer over our community? Will we pour this prayer over our families? Will we pour this prayer over our community? Will we take our milk can to this community? Will we take our milk cans to our daughters and our sons? Will we take it in the name of Jesus, and we're praying and we're pouring this milk out over them? Why? Because God has done something amazing in the dairy farm, and there's more milk than we can know what to do with, and we're going to carry it to this community, and we're going to pour it on our daughter, we're going to pour it on our son, and we're going to pour it on our grandchildren. We're going to pour it on our leaders. We're going to pour it on our president. We're going to pour it on our governor. We're going to pour it on the House of Representatives. We're going to pour it on the loved ones around us. That's us. We are the church. Our milk can is full. What's in your milk can? I'm telling us what's in there right now. Prayer. This prayer is in your milk can. Let's begin. Verse 1 of Psalm 20 says this: May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. And I just got, my mind goes instantly. If he's saying, God, will you answer them when they call out to you? That means they're calling out to you. I got a whole new way of praying for those that are caught in sin or caught in addiction. And this Psalm 20 has led me there. And I'm going to build a prayer. And I've got it built on my desk. And I want you to build this prayer. And I want us to fill in the lines with people's names and situations and governments and all kinds of things. And I want us to begin to pray. I want us to be like a Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says this: Ask and it will be given, and seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives it, and he who seeks finds it. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. I'm going to start praying for that for people, that they'll be askers. God, I want them. Push the button, please. I want them. I want Bill to call on you, God. I want Maggie to call on you, God. I want Tobin to call on you, God. I want my brother to call on you, God. I want Dave to call on you, God. I want Mark to call on you, God. I want Estrella to call on you, God. And that's going to start being my prayer. I'm not just praying for people. I want to pour this out. I want this offensive move in their life. God, I want them to begin to call out to you, God. I'm going to call out for them. And maybe they're not doing it right now. But God, I'm praying that they start doing it. That they would be the ones calling out to you, God. Enough just praying for them. Let's pray that they'll become men and women of prayer. That they'll be the ones seeking God. I want our governor to cry out to you, God. I want our leadership to cry out to you. I want you, why your pastor, to cry out to God. I'm not completely there yet. You can fill my name in on any one of these things. That we will call out and cry and pour out what's in our milk cans, that we will begin to say, God, I know my son is only 8 months old. I know my daughter is only 3. I know my daughter is only 6. But God, I'm starting to pray right now that she will be calling out to you, that he will be one who calls out to you. God, I'm going to pray ahead of time. I'm not going to wait till he's 14, 15 years old and he's all jacked up in life and then begin to pray. I'm praying now, God. And I'm going to have this offensive prayer, and I'm going to pour it into his life. And every night when I carry him to bed, I'm going to say, God, may he be a man who cries out to you. We're way too late at times. We wait till somebody's all jacked up, and then we begin to pray. And I want to start with this offensive prayer in 2021. And I know I got to get moving because I got a lot more sheets here on my notes. But this prayer is so powerful. And when God shone the light on the milk house and he began to work in my soul and spirit, and he began to talk to me. And he began to tell me why he did that, because I said, I want something to leave. I want more to leave. I want more. I'm empowering what's leaving you. Listen to me. Did you get that? I'm empowering what's leaving you. It's not just for, it's me who is going with that prayer. It's me who is meeting them. It's me that you're calling down for from heaven to fall on them. And I pray that they'll be calling out to you, God. Verse 1 continues to say, may the Lord answer you when you are in your distress. Distress simply means when you meet a rival, or you meet a challenger, or you meet an adversary. And they can be individuals perhaps in life, or they could be situations in your life. God, I want them to call out to you, and I want them to hear from you, God. I want them to hear from you, God. I want Tobin to hear from you. I want Mark to hear from you. I want Ryan to hear from you. I want Don to hear from you. I want Jeff to hear from you. I want Pap to hear from you. I want Jim to hear from you. God, I want him to cry out to you. I want my son, my daughter, to cry out to you, God. And I want them to hear from you, God. When they meet that rival in their life, when they meet that challenge in their life, God, I want them to hear from you saying, go around or lower your shoulder and get going, man of God. I want them to hear from you, God. I want them to become so familiar with your voice. See, I'm not praying that for people. I'm praying for people. And I'm praying for God to heal and God to free from addiction and to free from sin. And I'm praying for those things. And I think that's right down the line where God would want me to pray. That defensive prayer and that offensive prayer. But I want this offensive prayer to really run ramshod through the lives of people. That they will be people who are crying out to God. They will be people who are hearing from God. They will be people who are so familiar with God's voice. Do you know Samuel learned what God's voice sounded like young in his life? Because I believe his mom and his dad were praying for him, and Eli was able to make it real to him. Verse 1 continues with this. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And I like this one. May he protect you. And basically means, may he make you too strong to handle. May he make you too hot for the enemy to handle. That's what it means. That when the enemy tries to touch them, whoa, there's something different about that young person. There's something different about that individual. There's something different. I tried to get into their life, but something is happening in their life. Why? No, there's people who are praying that they'll cry out to God, that they'll hear God, that they'll become familiar with his voice. And all of a sudden, something starts to happen in that person, and they become too hot to handle. Some of us aren't hot to handle, and I want that prayed into your life and prayed into my life. We have passages of Scripture where those had come up against this negative spiritual world, and they said, I know Jesus. The demon said, I know Jesus, and I've heard of Paul, but I have no idea who you are. And they put the whoopings on them. I want us to be a Paul that are too hot to handle. And I want to pray that for us, and I want that prayed for me. I want Ed to be too hot for the enemy to handle. Please put my name in there. Verse 2 says, may he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Out of God's sanctuary and out from Zion, out of God's kingdom. I want Tobin to be upheld and nourished and strengthened by you, God. I want him to feel that. I want him to feel that physical strength and that emotional and that mental and that spiritual strength, God. I want him to come out. God, I want you to pull it out of your warehouse. God, I've tried to do it in my life, and my bank account is empty. I tried to do that, and I just can't do it anymore. God, I'm asking you, bring out all your storehouse, and God, pour it onto them. Pour it on. Nourish them, God. Nourish them and lift them up and strengthen them physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. I want my grandchildren to be upheld and nourished and strengthened by you, God. I want my son, I want Dolan Hall to be upheld and nourished and strengthened by you, God. Verse 3 says, I'm telling you, this guy was on fire. He wasn't praying this now he lay me down to sleep. I think he was dancing around when he was praying. And do this, God! And do this! And pour it into them, God! Because I'm pouring this prayer. I'm pouring this prayer out on the community. I'm pouring this prayer out on my son and my daughter and my family and my husband and my wife. I'm pouring this prayer out on my pastor. I'm pouring this prayer out on my friend. I'm pouring this prayer out on my coworkers. God, they don't even know you, but I'm praying that they'll call out to you, God. Verse 3 says this. May he remember your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. These offerings in the Old Testament were designed for payment of sin. And I think what he's saying there is, it says, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. God, I want them to seek and receive forgiveness. I want to pray that for you. I want to pray that for me. I want to pray that for those that are lost in our country and our world. I want to pray that for our sons and our daughters. And just get down on my knees and, God, I'm pouring out this prayer. I'm being offensive, God. I want them to seek and receive forgiveness. God, they're living like hell right now. God, their life is upside down. God, they don't even know which way's up and which way's down, God, right now. But I'm praying in the name of Jesus that they'll seek forgiveness and receive it. Well, I don't know how that would ever happen. You ain't got to know how that happens. It's God's business. All you got to do is get the milk in the can and take it to the market, right? If they make cheese out of it, let them. If they make cottage, if they make ice cream, it's not up to you. God can make anything he wants out of the milk coming out of the farm. But pour it out. The sin would leave and divine favor would flood in. Verse 4 says, may he give you the desires of your heart and make your plans succeed. You ever start just praying that for somebody? Well, I don't know. They're pretty screwed up. Yeah, let God sort that out. Because look what you've already prayed for. Push the button. This is what you've already prayed for. That a heart would be, their desires would rise from a heart from seeking God, from hearing God, from being strengthened by God and being supported by God and being purified by God. I think God can handle it. God, I just want their desires to flourish. May he give you the desire of your heart and make your plans succeed. I want my son, I want him to see his heart's desires come alive. Are you with me today? What's in your milk can? Everything we do in this room is important. All the grain and all the hard work and all that. All the worship, that's all important. But there ain't nothing leaving the house. This body is going to die and so will our community. Verse 5 says, and we will shout for joy when you are victorious. He's talking about the person he's praying for. And we'll lift up our banners. We're going to lose it in the name of Jesus. In the name of our God. He's going to say, woohoo! Because I think God's going to start giving us eyes to see that he's doing what we're asking. Because I think the picture showed me again that God's going to empower what leaves the milk house. And verse 5, he said, we're going to get excited about what God is doing. The expectation of what God is doing right now. God is doing it. God's not waiting to do anything. He's doing exactly what he wants right now. We're going to shout hallelujah. We will mark these moments with victory. So if you're going to start praying this prayer for someone in your life and someone in your family, some of your spouse or your kids or your coworker, I would start taking notes because God's going to do something. And you're going to need a verse 5. And you're going to look back and say, whoa, oh man, look at God, you're doing. I did a prayer journal when I was in college one time, and I would write my prayer every single day. I would write out my prayer. And then on the backside, I would write what I'm thankful for and what I see God doing in my life. And I found it very interesting that 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months down the road, what I'm thanking God for is what I was praying for on the early in the year. Do we expect God to do it? He said, I'm going to empower what leaves the milk house. What's in your milk can? Verse 6 says, now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He answers him and from His holy heaven with the saving power of His right hand. You know what I think this is? This is a testimony building thing. I want my son, my daughter, I want my new daughter that's coming this year, I want them to know what it feels like for God to work in their life. Push the button. I want you to know what it feels like for God to work in your life. I want you to know what it feels like for God to work in your life. I want you to know. I want you to know. I want you to know, Zeke. I want you to know. I want you to know what it feels like for God to work in your life. I want you to know. I want you to know. We're never too white to know what God is doing in our life. I want you to know what it feels like. I want you. I want Tobin. I'm sorry, Tobin. You're the example today. That's right. I want Tobin to know what it feels like to have God working in him. Verse 7 is the passage that we know. So some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. I want them to trust in the name of the Lord their God. I'm going to start praying that. Even when it doesn't look like there's any chance that that'll ever happen, I'm going to start praying it. I'm going to continue to pray it. I'm going to take my milk can. I'm going to pray it over you. I'm going to pray it over my family. I'm going to pray it over my wife. I'm going to pray it in the mirror. I'm going to pray it over you, Mark. Verse 8. And if you looked ahead, there's only 9 verses, so we're almost there. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. The days are the difficulties, the trials, the hardships, the negativity, the suffering that's in their life. I want them to know that the days will be brought to their knees. And I want John to rise up and stand firm. What's in your milk can? Oh, Lord, save the king! Exclamation mark is my favorite punctuation in the Bible. Oh, Lord, save Tobin! Answer us when we call, God! Because I'm pouring out my milk can, God. I want them to call on you, God. I want them to hear from you, God. I want them to become familiar with your voice, God. I want them to be too hot for the enemy to handle, God. I want them to be upheld and nourished and strengthened by you, God. I want them to seek and receive forgiveness. I want them to see their heart's desires come alive. I want them to keep asking and to keep receiving. I want them to feel like, know what it feels like to have God working in them. I want them to trust in the name of the Lord their God. And I want them to know that the days will be brought to their knees around them. And I want them to rise up and stand firm. And I found it very interesting, and I shared this with the Wednesday night group, that if we go to the very next psalm, "Oh Lord, the King rejoices in your strength." This is the exact answer to what they were just asking for. And I don't know about you, but I find it interesting when God does that in 2021. You read through 21, and we're going to see the answers of 20. I don't know about you, but I want to live through 21 and see the answers in 20. "Oh Lord, the King rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories that you give. You have granted him the desires of his heart," because we were asking for it. "And you have not withheld the request from his lips." Verse 3 says this, "You welcomed him with rich blessing and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever through the victories you gave him. His glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty." I'm telling us right now that those two psalms should be together. But I'm so glad that God recorded them thousands of years ago for this year as I was reading from them. I recorded them in 2021. It's going to be a year when we pour out our milk can. 2021, here we come in the name of Jesus. It's never going to be the same. I am not looking for normal. I'm looking for God. And I'm looking for what he's going to pour out through this body. We're going to talk about what's in our milk can. Today, it's offensive prayer. Will you pour it on your family? Will you pour it on this community? Will we pour it on our leadership? Will we pour it on those with addiction? Will we pour it on those that are caught in sin? Will we pour it on those around us? And will we pour it on each other? Stand with me today, please. God, what I find very interesting is that 10 or 12 years ago when I was riding on the road between Osceola and Woodhull, New York, and something in me was so inspired by that fallen down farm that I snapped that picture. And over the years, you have just used that so many times to draw me close to you, to draw others close to you. Father, I have printed that picture for others. I have sent it away with people that are struggling in life. But the other day when you put the light strike on it, I knew that you were saying something new. And God, I believe with all of my heart that you're saying, "I'm going to empower what leaves you. Let it out." So Father, we will start with this prayer, I think. And we will pour out this offensive prayer on our families and our community and those around us. And Father, we will get excited about what we're going to read in 21 because we're asking God in 20. Help us not give up. Help us not throw in the white towel. Father, we're going to be released here in a few moments. And Father, we're going to release into this world. I pray that we would not just hear this message and not be moved. Father, I think you've put together way too many pieces for us not to be moved. What's in our milk can? Prayer. We're going to pour it out, God. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.